This is Express FM.
Supported by City of Portsmouth College. Find your brilliance.
Wait for the whistle to blow. And we are underway on Express FM.
For the fans, by the fans.
The atmosphere around Fratton at the moment is great, and that's spilled over into the training ground, and the boys are very, very positive.
Giving you a voice.
Everyone has a smile on their face. It's going really well, and it's up to us to keep that, even in a tough moment.
This is the Football Hour.
And it's a good one.
With Jake Smith.
And with that, Portsmouth's time in League One comes to an end.
Kamara is left foot. Kamara, great save. Lane, goal. Scores for Portsmouth. They've got a second. They're going to win here at Lincoln. They're going to finish with 97 points.
Seven seasons in the third tier of English football concludes with a win at Lincoln City. We'll be reflecting on Saturday's game at Sintel Bank and gathering some post-match reaction from within the Blues camp too, including standing captain and goalkeeper Will Norris.
All the lads are really professional. Like, a lot of the lads have come in today having not played a lot of football and done themselves a real credit. Like, they've done the business, to be fair.
Six changes for the Blues in the final game of the season at the weekend. Head coach John Massino will be discussing the decision to do that and also the game itself.
We believe that we've got the physicality and ball-playing ability to go and hurt sides on the counter or opening them up in different ways, and we did that and we scored two really good goals on the counter-attack.
And that busy weekend just got a bit busier on Sunday afternoon. Champions on the Common. We saw the men's and the women's side celebrating what has been an incredible 12 months for Portsmouth Football Club. We were very fortunate to be catching up with plenty involved in what has been a phenomenal campaign for PFC. Tonight we're going to hear from the likes of Riley Towler, Colby Bishop as well, and also Michael Eisner.
The women got their trophies, which was great. 125th anniversary. The men moving up to the championship. You can't do better than that.
It can't be better than that, can it, Michael? We want to hear from you tonight, Blues fans, as well. 81400 on the text. Start your messages with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com. Use at expressfm on X. Visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. Or, of course, the best way to get in touch is by downloading the free ExpressFM app, available on iOS and Android devices now. Well, for the final time this season, we've got a match to review. Here on 93.7 ExpressFM, you're listening to the Football Hour.
The Football Hour.
Driven by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app now from the App Store or Google Play to view up-to-date timetable information and to prepay for your journey.
Express FM.
Yeah, good evening. Welcome to the Football Hour here on Portsmouth's Express FM with you every Monday and Friday night to talk all things Pompey. And we've got a review of what was the Blues' final game of the League One season on Saturday afternoon in what hopefully will be the final game in League One for a very, very long time. 7 years in this division is now officially over. 97 points on the board have John Massino's side accrued this season, and they ended the campaign in style with a 2-0 victory away at Lincoln City. We're going to hear the highlights of that game in just a moment. We're going to get reaction from the match from Massino himself. We're going to hear from Will Norris. He stood in as captain at the weekend with Marlon Pack not involved in the not starting 11 or the match day 18 at all. We'll talk about that between now and 7 o'clock, and we'll recap what was a phenomenal day on Southsea Common yesterday afternoon, celebrating the double promotion of Portsmouth's men and women. But we do start at Sintel Bank on Saturday lunchtime. It was a 12:30 kickoff for the League One curtain closer. Lincoln City still with an opportunity to make the playoff positions. They started the day in the top six, knowing that a win, of course, would secure their place in what is the lottery of the playoffs in League One. But the Blues, they just had to go and spoil the party, didn't they? Already promoted, already title winners. John Massino wanted to keep them in the integrity of League One and bow out of this division in style. And with Oxford United also in action elsewhere, they could also have made the playoff positions. That's exactly what they did. So you can't help but feel, I'm sure John Massino somewhere in the back of his mind wanted Oxford United to get into the top six. Nonetheless, he made six changes on Saturday afternoon from the side that were defeated 2-1 at home to Wigan Athletic the previous week. Sean Raggett, Connor Ogilvie, Owen Moxon, Marlon Pack, Abu Kamara and Christian Sadie all dropping missing out of a team. In came Riley Towler, Jack Sparks, Tom Lowry, Tino Anderson, Paddy Lane and Miles Pitt-Harris. And to note, Marlon Pack not in the squad at all. Neither was Sean Raggett. Positioned in the commentary box at Sinsel Bank, though, as always, Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Every kick.
Left foot, great delivery.
Every goal.
Curling it past the goalkeeper.
Every game is right here.
Oh, I don't believe it!
Pompey Live.
What a moment for Pompey!
On Express FM.
Sparks on the left, thinks about the cross up against Sorensen, tries to go round him. Sorensen is shadowing him, won't let him get half a yard. Sparks tries again, and this time does get the cross in, and Lincoln win the first header, and Bishop with his left foot swipes at it, and swipes it wide. Pompey keep going though, they've still got outside the box. Lang thinks about the shot, cross into the middle, Bishop can't get there, and Duren edge of the box, keeper's down injured, and Duren puts the ball in the net, and the referee blows the whistle and has stopped play before Anduren scored. That one won't count. Be interested to see what the decision is here, 0-0. Lane wants it on the right wing. He's got it at the corner of the box. He wants to take on his man. He goes to the dead ball and across to Bishop. Great save, loose ball. Lang saves again. Still there in the penalty area. Bishop goes down and a free kick is given Lincoln's way for a foul by Bishop. 0-0. In comes Mandroyo. Good one to the far post. Bishop there defending. Shot block. Still there for Lincoln. Drilled goalward. Still there, cleared away. That's the closest they've come. That is the half-time whistle here at Sinsel Bank. Lincoln City 0. Portsmouth 0. In it comes. It's towards the far post. It's going to be headed back into the danger area. Norris half away. And a glorious chance is missed by Ben House. By far the clearest of the game. And it's still Lincoln 0. Pompey 0. Norris has given away outside the box. Chance for Lincoln here. Into the penalty area. That's a foul. That's a penalty for Lincoln, surely. And the referee points to the spot. Whistle goes. Mandroyo slips and it's saved and Rafferty puts it behind and it's a corner kick and the penalty is missed by Lincoln City. It's saved by Will Norris. Corner. Midway inside the Lincoln half. Lost it into the area. This should be the goalkeeper's. Oh, he's been hit by his own man. There's a chance for Sparks. Oh, what a save. He's hit the goalkeeper on the ground and it's over the bar for a corner. Here's Kamara. Finds Lane. Lane to come into the area. He wants it on his left foot. There's space for Piotr Harris. He scored! Portsmouth score! Lincoln hit on the counter-attack and Miles Piotr Harris. For once, Pompey got all the decisions right in the final third. They didn't in the first half. They have now. It's Lincoln 0, Portsmouth 1, and that might be their season. Yenge looking for Kamara. Sadie could be played through. Kamara goes to the other side to Yenge. To Paddy Lane. Saved. Corner kick, Portsmouth. Kamara's in the area. Kamara is left foot. Kamara, great save. Lane, goal. Scores for Portsmouth. They've got a second. They're going to win here at Lincoln. They're going to finish with 97 points. Terry Devlin's grabbed an inflatable cup out of the crowd. Lane lifts it in front of the supporters. Portsmouth are going to win this game. Lincoln are not going to make the playoffs. It's Lincoln 0, Portsmouth 2. Full-time whistle goes here at Sinsel Bank. Portsmouth have ended a memorable season with a 2-0 victory here at Lincoln City.
All the unmissable action. Pompey Live on Express FM.
Yeah, those there were the highlights of Saturday's 2-0 victory for Pompey away at Lincoln City, ending the season just as they started League One in 2017, following, of course, promotion from League Two. That was a win over Rochdale at Fratton Park in August 2017. And they finished their League One tenure with a 2-0 win away at Lincoln City. The Blues then, they finished the league on 97 points. Of course, promotion and the title was wrapped up two games ago following a 3-2 victory. A dramatic one of that as well, at home to Barnsley. And elsewhere on Saturday afternoon, of course, all 12:30 kickoffs at the weekend due to in the final game of the season, Barnsley were held to a 1-1 draw at home to Northampton Town. They still made it into the playoffs. Derby County were 2-0 victors over Carlisle United at Pride Park. Anything more than a draw for Derby would have confirmed their place in the Championship, so a win for them, of course, does that in style for the Rams. So congratulations to Derby County. They finish in second position and will join the Blues in the second tier next season. As a result, that means Bolton will finish in third position in the playoff places. It didn't really matter what happened in their game at Peterborough, which, by the way, ended in a 3-3 draw. Elsewhere, Exeter City 1, Oxford United 2, Fleetwood 3, Burton Albion 0. Luckily for Burton Albion. That result did not send them down. That is because Cheltenham Town elsewhere were defeated by 2-1 away at Stevenage, meaning that Cheltenham join Fleetwood, Port Vale and Carlisle United into the relegation zone and dropping down into League Two. Elsewhere, Port Vale 0, Cambridge United 0, Reading 3, Blackpool 2, Shrewsbury Town 1, Leighton Orient 3, Wigan Athletic 2, Bristol Rovers 0, and probably the most dead rubber game of the afternoon was Wickham 1, Charlton Athletic 0. Absolutely nothing riding on that one at Adams Park. So let's go through the League One table in its entirety. Pompey finished the campaign on top after 46 games, 28 wins, 13 draws, 5 defeats. 78 goals scored, 41 conceded, a goal difference of plus 37. 97 points on the board. Those 5 defeats have secured a new club record for Portsmouth Football Club. The fewest league defeats in a league campaign, ever. The previous record was 6, held by the Blues in the 2002-2003 promotion season from Division 1 into the Premier League. So yeah, Derby County joined the Blues in the Championship next season, automatically promoted with 92 points. Bolton Wanderers, supposedly the best team in the division. They finished 3rd on 87 points. They will play Barnsley in the playoffs. They just managed to stay in the top 6, Barnsley. No wins in their last 6 games, and recently, of course, changed hands in regards to management. They finished in 6th position. In 4th is Peterborough United on 84 points. Oxford United in 5th, 77 points on the board. They will play one another in the semi-finals of the playoffs. And just missing out at the weekend, Lincoln City themselves, Pompey reigning on their parade on Saturday at St Cecil Bank, and Blackpool, who finished 8th in League One. In 9th is Stevenage, newly promoted from League 2. A decent old season for them. Wickham Wanderers, after a really poor start to the campaign, they're unbeaten in 6. They ended the season in 10th. Making up the rest of that top half, Leighton Orient in 11th. Also not long been promoted from League 2. And Wigan Athletic, despite a points deduction from them this season, 8 points taken off them, they finished in the top half. Exeter City, Northampton Town, Bristol Rovers, Charlton Athletic, Reading, Cambridge United, Shrewsbury Town and Burton Albion make up the bottom half before we then get to the relegation zone, where Cheltenham Town, Fleetwood, Port Vale and Carlisle United have been relegated down to League 2, and they will be playing 4th Division football next season. Right, let's get some reaction from the Pompey camp from Saturday afternoon then. John Bassino caught up with Max Watson after the game. We'll be hearing from him between now and 7 o'clock. But first of all, let's hear from the standing captain from the match. Marlon Pack was in Lincolnshire for the game. He was there watching alongside former Imps player Sean Raggett. However, none of those made the match day 18. John Bassino made those 6 changes and made the goalkeeper, Will Norris, his captain. Here's what he had to say after the final whistle.
Will, you were named captain, kept a clean sheet, saved the penalty. Is that the perfect end to the season?
Yeah, you could say that. I thought the lads put in a great performance. It's always a privilege to be named captain as well. And yeah, no, it was a real honour.
Been grinding out results recently, but to play as convincingly as that and to get the second goal at the end to wrap things up, that must be really satisfying for you and the boys.
It was, yeah. It shows that we can play different types of ways. You know, I think we controlled the first half. They didn't really give us much in the way of chances. And in the second half was a bit different. They had to come out, they had to sort of try and get the results. I know they're trying to push for playoffs, but I thought the lads were really professional. Like, a lot of the lads have come in today having not played a lot of football, and done themselves a real credit. Like, they've done the business, to be fair. They've been really good.
How much did you enjoy today as the occasion rather than just the game?
I think so. Yeah, no, it was always you don't want to finish the season on a bad note, and you know, you want to give the travelling fans a good performance, and I thought the lads did that. They were really professional today.
It's a party atmosphere. What did you make of the away support today?
Yeah, it's great. It's been great all year. You know, we could have sold, you know, 20 times over what we got, but you know, it was an important game for them, and you know, they were making noise, and it was a really good atmosphere.
Obviously, saved the penalty. There was a fair few sort of stops for you as well. What do you make of your personal performance?
Yeah, it's always nice to save penalties. I'll have to sort of look back at the build-up and sort of how we give it away. I think we were caught maybe trying to overplay a little bit, but you know, that comes with the territory of how we want to play, you know, how we want to break teams down and sort of draw teams out. And I think that you know, we've been probably due one of them. That's probably the first time that we have been sort of caught in those moments, and yeah, you know, it's always nice to just bail the lads out and you know, and do my job really.
It's your first penalty save of the season. Have you had to wait this long before?
Yeah, no, I know. I have been due one. I was thinking the other day I was due one, but yeah, no, it's just pleased to keep out.
Will Norris with a clean sheet at the weekend, speaking to Max Watson after the final whistle. Pleased to say, joining me on the Football Hour this evening, we've got first and foremost Matt Drabble. Matt, a very good evening to you. Thanks for coming on. It's been quite a while, I think.
Yeah, all of about 24 hours since we last saw each other, Jake. But no, delighted to be on the Football Hour. Long overdue, I think. Just snuck one in before the season's end. And yeah, always a pleasure to come on and talk all things Portsmouth.
And it's a pleasure to have you, Matt. And you touched upon there the fantastic occasion that was yesterday afternoon on Southsea Common, the celebration of Pompey's double promotion, the men and the women. We're going to come on and talk about that a little later on in the show, Matt. But first and foremost, we'll start with Saturday afternoon, where Pompey secured that 2-0 victory away at Lincoln City, really ending their campaign on a high. And that's, I'm sure, what everyone involved with the football club would have wanted.
Yeah, and I think ending it on a high when they didn't have to, Jake, is perhaps the greatest glimpse into the mentality of this squad of players that we've been given all season. Not just winning a game, but really completely outplaying Lincoln in the second half. And also, the thing that impressed me the most was when a bit of adversity comes or you get drawn into a bit of a fight at the end of the season, especially with nothing to play for, that might be the type of game you step off, you let things wash over you. You don't want to get injured for your summer trip to Vegas or Mallorca or wherever they're off to. But actually, the players stood up to that fight, went toe-to-toe with Lincoln when challenges were flying in, when it was a bit bitty off the ball. And I think that said an awful lot about this group and why they won the league so comfortably in the end. Mm.
Sam Macy is also alongside us on the Football Hour this evening. Sam, thank you very much for calling in. What did you make of that performance at Lincoln on Saturday, despite those heavy changes?
Yeah, always a pleasure to come on, Jake. I think it's the first time I've spoken to you since we've been promoted.
Oh, so yes.
It's nice to speak to you on the other side of it. I think it was a good way to sort of to round off the season. Obviously, John Messina doing his old club a favour, and it's sort of always nice to sort of play the party pooper. I think where I remember when Accrington did it to us in the COVID season, and it was sort of nice that the role sort of reversed and we managed to get one over on them. But yeah, no, it was a very good way to sort of go out, I think. That away end, I say I wasn't there myself, but the away end looked very good from the videos I've seen on social media, and I think that Paddy Lane goal sort of just sums up the season. Just getting something at the end, sort of that never say die attitude, and obviously the celebrations afterwards. I think Paddy Lane did about six celebrations when he sort of when the ball went in the net, but yeah, no, it was a really good sort of way to end the season. I think we dug deep, and as you said earlier on, I'm really happy for Will Norris to finally get that penalty save this season. Mm. I think that's the only thing which he's sort of been missing. And yeah, very, very good way to sort of go into the Championship next year.
Indeed it is. Matt, that's a crazy statistic, isn't it? It's taken all up until the 46th and final game of the season for Will Norris to register a penalty save. I'm not sure whether that says more about Will Norris or the fact that Pompey don't give away too many penalties.
I think it says probably more, Jake, to answer your question about the discipline of the back line. I think that's been a huge step forward for Portsmouth this season. Has been... the improvement in temperament of the players and mentality of the players. And I want to credit one man in particular, in Sean Raggett, since he came in sort of mid-season for the injured Regan Paul, or even earlier than that. And I just think previously that probably would be something you associated Sean Raggett with, is a carelessness inside his own penalty area. You know, in particular, I think we did see him give away one penalty this season, I believe, down at the Fratton end. But overall, I thought Raggett's season was fantastic. And of all the different areas that he improved in, I think the timing of his challenges and just keeping a clear, level head in those moments was massive. And that obviously benefited Will Norris behind him. But yeah, I think it was a moment Will Norris deserved. I think he was underappreciated for a lot of this season, the stuff he was doing. Stuff that doesn't really go as noticed, like command of his penalty area, organisation of his back line. For him to get the headlines on the final day with something that everyone could see and understand was fantastic. Mm.
Linda's got in touch on the email, said it was nice to end an exceptional season with a win despite a number of changes and a terrible referee, says Linda. I'm not sure what he was seeing, but how did he get into double figures with yellow cards? Now the rumours will start about who will be signing, which will be very interesting. I cannot wait for next season to start. Shame about about the sounds on the common yesterday, but at least it stopped raining and we can celebrate again. Yes, player Pompey Linda, thank you very much for getting in touch. We're going to be talking about that later on. And yeah, the sunshine did come out finally after what was looking to be a bit of a dreary day on Southseat Common. We'll talk about that between now and 7 o'clock, which is when Jeff Dorset is up next with this week's instalment of the Soft Rock Show. But we've still got plenty to come here on the Football Hour before then, including more reaction to Saturday's victory at Sinsel Bank and the post-match thoughts of head coach John Messina.
I thought it was a really important day for us to make sure that, first of all, having made the changes, still kept up with what we needed to do, because Lincoln had something to fight for. There were some players there that we needed to see, and they did really well. And just to end it on a high and end it in a win.
Do stick with us here on Express FM for that interview in full. More from me, Jake Smith, Matt Drabble and Sam Macy, as well as a recap of yesterday's double promotion celebration on Southsea Common. Don't go anywhere.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Whether you're out with your mates, catching the latest blockbuster, or just enjoying late night bus rides, from 7pm every day, you can take advantage of a Night Rider ticket, taking you from A to B and everywhere in between. Simply purchase your Night Rider ticket on the bus or using the Stagecoach app to get unlimited travel anywhere on the whole of the Stagecoach South for just £2.50. The world is your oyster. Visit stagecoachbus.com for timetable and ticket information.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Yeah, good evening. Welcome back to the Football Hour here on Portsmouth's Express FM. Here with you until 7 o'clock with all of reaction to Pompey's final day victory over Lincoln City at Sinsel Bank on Saturday afternoon. A result which puts the Blues on 97 points for the season. That is how the League One table finishes. Pompey have been promoted to the Championship as champions. Of course, they will be joined by Derby County in the second tier next season. And then the playoffs will be contested between Bolton Wanderers, Peterborough United, Oxford United and Barnsley as well. That victory for Pompey at Lincoln on Saturday means that the Imps themselves, despite an incredible run between what has been sort of now New Year's Day, only two defeats within that time, one before Saturday, despite that run, Lincoln City do not make the top six. Matt, let's have a really quick word on Lincoln, because they have been on a phenomenal run of form since New Year's Day. Unfortunately for them, I guess, they came up against the best team in the league on Saturday and ended their playoff dreams.
Yeah, I think so. I think perhaps there was a little bit, maybe more amongst the fans than the players, but a slight maybe false confidence going into that game that Portsmouth would be on the beach or still nursing sore heads from a few weeks ago. And it just wasn't the case. I'm not sure their players ever really looked ready for that game. But given that club, its resources, what a remarkable achievement to even be in and sniffing around it. And they played some lovely, lovely football this season.
They did indeed. So going back through the sort of events of the game, Sam, it wasn't the most entertaining first half. Linda's got in touch and had a word about the referee. It wasn't the most consistent of performances from the man in the middle, we must admit. But on the 53rd minute, Sam, Lincoln had a penalty. Tom Lowry brought down a player in the box. No real denying that it was a spot kick. But Will Norris saving that first penalty of the campaign in the 46th and final game of the season. Sam, it's a good save, but I guess you could probably put a lot of that down to the fact that Danny Mandrew slipped during his effort.
Yeah, I think that was actually his first penalty missed the season as well. I think I heard of them saying the highlights, Sam. But yeah, I think it's one of those. It happens sort of every week up and down the country. Someone will sort of slip and sometimes it goes for you, sometimes it doesn't. And it just so happens that the one time they need the penalty to go in, it doesn't. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but as I say, it's one of those things. And you can sort of bemoan your luck where you want if you're a Lincoln fan. But at the end of the day, you sort of make your own luck. And we still scored two decent goals. I think it's just one of those things. You can't really say anything. But yeah, it's unfortunate for Tom Lowry because I think he had a really good game and it's sort of the performance was tainted a little by the penalty. But as you say, it's an absolute stonewaller. But just thankfully we didn't have to go over the line.
And one of those sort of moments in the game, Matt, at a time as well after what was a decent first half for Lincoln. Perhaps they deserved more than a defeat on Saturday. But at a time of the game with just under 40 minutes remaining, Lincoln convert that penalty and that second half is a completely different story.
Yeah, I think so. I think they would have, you know, understandably and justifiably completely shut up shop from that point. And they are a side that are more than capable to do that, more than capable of doing that, going back even further than this season. And I think Portsmouth would have struggled at that point to motivate themselves to find two goals when they didn't really need to. So, yeah, it was a crucial, crucial penalty save. And just, you know, as Sam said earlier, another marvellous moment in an excellent Will Norris season, which we can look back on and say, you know, how different could things have been with someone else in the net?
Indeed. Looking forward sort of towards the latter stages of the game then, Sam. Pompey took the lead finally after 82 minutes on the clock, and it was Miles Pitt-Harris of all people slotting home with his right foot after being fed up by Paddy Lane just on the right hand side to Miles Pitt-Harris on the left hand side. He himself received the ball from Abu Kamara on the counter attack, and actually it all started in Pompey's own 18 yard box with Miles Pitt-Harris darting forward and starting that counter. A player who has found game time a little bit difficult since arriving on loan from Brentford in January, Sam. First of all, what did you make of that goal? And secondly, what have you made of Miles Pitt-Harris's short loan?
Yeah, I think that goal sort of is a very typical Pompey goal this season. I think you look at our wide players, sort of Abu Kamara, Paddy Lane, even Gavin White when he comes on. I think there's a lot of pace in those positions. I think that sort of that goal epitomises it. Really good footwork from Kamara to sort of shift the ball back, and then a great ball from Paddy Lane into into Miles Pitt-Harris. He slotted it home really nicely. Yeah, I think when he came in, I think the early signs were that he was going to be really good for us, sort of make that sort of number 10 position his own. And then sort of we signed Callum Lang, and then that sort of shifted Miles Pitt-Harris out of the team. And he sort of, since then, he sort of found games a little bit hard to come by. But no, you can sort of see that he's got that Premier League quality, and I think he's very highly thought of at Brentford. I think John Messino said over the last couple of days that he's been very happy with how Miles Pitt-Harris has got on at Fratton Park. So, yeah, I think it's successful. He scored some big goals. I think that it's just a nice way for him to go out. And I think he's sort of been quite divisive as between the Pompey fans. Some fans rate him quite a lot, some not so much. But I think it's a very nice way for him to go out. And I think when you think back to Miles Pitt-Harris, I think what we're going to think of is that goal against Lincoln and what a way to go out and sort of a very nice moment for him in front of those travelling fans, and fingers crossed he thinks fondly of his time here.
12 minutes of added time were indicated, and that was when Pompey had scored their 78th and final league goal of the campaign. Matt Paddy Lane making it 2-4 the Blues, or the team of the white and the grey on Saturday. Lucas Jensen, he tipped an Abu Kamara curler just onto the post, and Paddy Lane was there to just tuck it home and double Pompey's advantage. Silver victory. And I don't know about you, Matt, but that was probably my best celebration and my favourite celebration of the entire season. Terry Devlin, he'd taken an inflatable trophy from the away end, from a supporter in the away end, and given it to Paddy Lane. And then all of a sudden you see most of the team sort of rile him up and hold aloft that inflatable trophy in front of that away end. What a really poetic end to what has been 7 really tough years in this division.
Yeah, I thought that was an absolutely wonderful moment, to be honest, Jake, and sort of felt very old, because my overriding emotion was just look at these group of young men all having fun and having a laugh together. And I thought there was something beautiful about that, with the pressure off after, you know, these very, very young men have shown an incredible amount of maturity over the course of the season to you know, fight on and drag themselves through victories, all the pain they've put their body through. And then you had Paddy Lane, relatively young, Terry Devlin, a youngster, Christian Sadie, Abu Kamara, Cassini Yenge, you know, all sub 25 out there on the pitch having a laugh together in front of the Pompey fans. I just thought that was a really, really, you know, quite beautiful moment, to be honest. And the smiles on their faces, I thought they absolutely deserved that for the hard work they'd put in all season. And let's not take away from what is another Paddy Lane goal in this campaign. What's that? Number 12 of the season.
Yep.
In the league. I think there's a strong case to be made, and I would never, ever dare suggest a shift in position for him. I think he plays in his best position. But is he Portsmouth's best sort of all-round finisher, poacher. His instincts are remarkable. He consistently gets himself in good areas. And when the chances arise, he takes them at such an efficient rate. You think the Northampton home game springs to mind, Barnsley away. And when you've got Colby Bishop in the team, saying that Paddy Lane might be the best finisher is quite some statement, but I really think it might be true.
Sam, have you got anything to sort of add to that? Paddy Lane, is he sort of Pompey's best outlet at the moment within the team?
I think sort of one thing which Paddy's benefited from is having Abu Kamara in the team. I think Abu Kamara, he sort of likes to sort of cut inside, sort of whip shots in, if not go on the outside and then get balls into the box for whether that be Kasini Yenge or Colby Bishop. And I think as any sort of good wide player does, Paddy sort of gets himself in those positions where he's there for the follow-ups and then also he drifts inside sort of for that ball inside as and when he needs it. I think sort of Matt made a very good point with the Northampton game. The one which brings to my mind is the Carlisle game where he sort of found himself one-on-one and sort of that's the one chance we really had in that game. He slotted it away and that was a massive 3 points at the time. I still think I'd go for Colby Bishop and Kasini Yenge as a close second, but I think Paddy Lane's had an excellent season. And if you sort of look at the beginning of this year, I don't think anyone was sort of touting him to be sort of one of our most influential players. I think he was probably third in the pecking order behind Scully and White. And sort of since he's come into the side, he's been a revelation. I think if he found sort of form in the last five games, as opposed to sort of the middle part of the season, I think he's in for a shout with Player of the Season because the goals and assists have been brilliant. I think he's just a number of players who stepped up this season.
Right then, Sam, thank you very much. Matt, hold tight as well. We're going to get more reaction from within the Pompey camp on Saturday afternoon. After the game, Max Watson caught up with the gaffer for one final time this season, John Senior.
Well, John, two goals, 3 points, a clean sheet and a really convincing display to end the season. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I thought it was a really, really good game of football. I'm really pleased with the fact that we've won the game. We've closed the season out with a win and all of those things that you said there, the clean sheet. I thought we played really well in the first half, controlled the game for half an hour, but then after that I thought we didn't create any chances in that half hour, but then we started to create a few more chances in the last 15 minutes of the first half, which we didn't put in the back of the net. My only criticism of the boys at half time was the fact that we weren't ruthless enough. And then Lincoln pressed a bit more aggressively in the second half and we had a few different issues to deal with, but off the back of that, if sides do press us high up, we believe that we've got the physicality and the ball-playing ability to go and hurt sides on the counter or opening them up in different ways. And we did that and we scored two really good goals on the counter-attack. And really pleased, two different ways of playing, one in the first half, one in the second half. And my only criticism, again, of the lads in the second half is that we didn't put the game to bed by scoring 3, 4, 5 goals because we had some really good opportunities, some really good chances. But thrilled for the lads, thrilled for all the travelling fans and everybody connected with the football club today.
How important was it for you and the lads to finish the season in the way you did today on a real positive note?
I thought after last week where we didn't play particularly well and there were plenty of excuses for that, the physical and mental preparation wasn't there, which was absolutely fine. I completely understood that after what had happened on Tuesday, Wednesday going into that game. I thought it was a really important day for us to make sure that, first of all, we, having made the changes, still kept up with what we needed to do because Lincoln had something to fight for. There were some players there that we needed to see and they did really well. And just to end it on a high, end it in a win, the celebrations, the feeling at the end of the game, I think, obviously wouldn't have happened without us winning the game. And that was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. So I really enjoyed the end of the game. I really enjoyed probably the last 10, 15 minutes of it where I thought we were excellent and we really turned the screw. And just to be able to see, you know, like Paddy's goal and his celebration, you don't get those moments, obviously, without winning the game as well as we did. So I'm thrilled for the boys and thrilled for everybody at the football club.
The fact you made 6 changes today and they performed as well as you did, probably our best performance in quite a few games as well, does that typify the team this season?
Yeah, it does. And we speak about the squad a lot and the importance of the squad and players to come in with very few minutes over the past however many weeks. The likes of Riley Towler, Jack Sparks, Tom Lowry. That was really, really pleasing for me to be able to see them perform so well. And again, to make those changes. We went into the game. I looked at the team sheet when we submitted it and I thought this is a really strong side. And it's nice to say it after the game. We've got a bit of hindsight in terms of the fact we've won it. But if I was standing here having drawn or lost the game, I'd have been saying the same thing. I fancied us to win the game today against a very, very good Lincoln side who have been extremely competitive here at home and have been on a brilliant run over the last 20 games. I still fancied us to win the game with the changes we've made, because I think we've got some excellent players that have been really unlucky to not play a bit more this season.
Let's single out Riley Towler, someone you heaped praise on last week after gaining promotion in the title with how much he's contributed. He got another chance today. You must be really thrilled for him getting a clean sheet and the 3 points to go with it as well.
I was just thrilled with the fact that he played so well, having come from the Fleetwood game. I think it was his last start for us. He played really well against Fleetwood, he kept a clean sheet and he found himself out of the side a week later. He's kept his head down, he's trained really hard, he's a brilliant pro, he's a brilliant young lad, I'm sure everybody that's ever met him knows that. And it was a very nice thing for us to be able to give him that today. Hopefully he knows what an important part of the League One winning squad that he's been. I'm sure he does, and it set himself up very, very nicely to come back in pre-season and prove a point, which is that he's a centre-half capable of playing for Portsmouth, and I thought he really showed that today. I thought on the near side in the first half he was excellent, and second half, the biggest compliment I can pay Riley is that I didn't have anything to worry. I forgot that he was playing, but he defended really well. He kept that left side pretty quiet, and again against a really, really good Lincoln team who have blown a lot of sides away. They keep winning 5-0, 6-0, whatever it is. They've been on a crazy run, so to be able to do that, I was thrilled.
And the last outing for those lone lads that were out there as well, obviously going to be no doubt sad to see them go after a brilliant season.
Yeah, and all of them had a massive contribution today. To be able to see Tino play as well as he did as a six was really pleasing. He got through 60 odd minutes, he just cramped up at the end, no injury, which was fine for us. We were just waiting for him to put his hand up and say that's me, because of the lack of minutes he's had. A fresh Abu, we have probably flogged him to death a bit over the past 6 or 7 weeks because he's been so important to what we've been trying to do. It was nice to bring him out, give him a rest. He was dead on his feet last week against Wigan, and he came on, he was really, you know, exciting in terms of the way he played. And then I think most fitting is Miles. He's had a bit of time out of the side and out of the squad over the past few weeks. He came on against Wigan last week because he trained so well and he deserved to. I thought he was probably our best player in the second half against Wigan, a real threat. My only criticism of him post-game was that he didn't score. And today he put everything together. He played on the left, he looked like a threat. He played in the middle of the park, he looked like a threat, and he scored as well. So really pleased for Miles, because his loan's been massively successful as far as I'm concerned.
Just on the changes you made today, what was the situation with Marlon Pack?
Marlon's just been feeling his groins, hamstrings over the past few weeks. He's been battling through it, getting through training sessions, getting through games, still performing really well, making sure that he is part of the side that has obviously picked up so many points over the past few weeks. And it was a conversation we had, and Marlon was fine with it, where I don't want to risk it with Marlon. I don't want him to be in over the summer rehabbing something that was just completely unnecessary, particularly with the fact that we were able to bring Tom and Tino into the side. Miles then dropped back in there. We've got Owen Moxon and Terry Devlin on the bench. Even with Ben Stevenson off the bench, we've got such good options in the middle of the park. It didn't seem like it was worth risking.
You mentioned the celebrations at the end with the fans there. Such jubilant scenes. And I think I recall last week post-match you saying that the fist pumps wasn't you. So what persuaded you in the end?
I just thought if I didn't do it today, there'd be a lot of fans going home a bit disappointed. And I just thought, everybody deserved it. The players have been on me. The staff have been on me to not do it, because I say I don't really like it. But it felt right today. It was great. It was great being close to the fans today. Unfortunately, only 900 could come up and see the game. But the 900 that did were obviously in brilliant voice. The second goal was just great, being able to see Paddy celebrate like he did. That was so good. And I thought, you know what, I can't be a miserable old man, so I thought I'd do it, and yeah, that's probably the last time you'll see me do that.
We got John Mussino fist pumps, ladies and gentlemen. We finally got them on Saturday afternoon. 2-0 win for Pompey over Lincoln City at the weekend to round off what has been a phenomenal campaign for the Blues. Right, after the break, we're going to get the final thoughts of both Matt Drabble and Sam Macy here on the Football Hour. And for the first time since 2017... Portsmouth owner Michael Eisner will be on Express FM.
Everybody now needs a couple of weeks off, then we start all over again with our goal to eventually, will not be tomorrow, but eventually, a long time, but not a very, very long time, to get to the Premier League.
We've just been promoted to the Championship, Michael. We're already talking about top flight football. We'll hear that interview in full when the Football Hour returns in just a few moments' time.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
We know entertaining the kids can be tricky at the best of times. That's why Stagecoach is here to help. During the school holidays, up to four people, maximum of two adults, can travel with our Portsmouth Group Dayrider for just £5. So that's your travel sorted. Now you just need to decide what to do when you get there. Special offer tickets are only available from the driver. Cash and contactless payments accepted. Leave the car at home and enjoy a day out by bus. For more information, visit stagecoachbus.com.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Good evening, welcome along for the final time tonight to the Football Hour here on Portsmouth Express FM. With you until 7 o'clock. We've already delved into all of the action from Saturday afternoon, where Pompey were 2-0 victors over Lincoln City in their final league game of the 2023-2024 campaign. We now move on to the events that happened on Southsea Common yesterday afternoon. Champions on the Common is what it was billed as by the football club, celebrating what has been an incredible season for both Portsmouth men and women. Matt Drabble was alongside us here on Express FM with coverage of that event. Also, we had Connor Mosley, Kirsty Roxanne and Henry Deacon. It was a super team and we had such great fun. Matt, it was a great day and it started out really cold, really sort of wet and really rubbish, really. But it turned out all right, didn't it?
It did. Some of us even brought wellies. They were so fearful of of how rainy and wet it might be. And then were forced to embarrass themselves playing football in wellies moments later. No, Jake, honestly, I think all of our hearts were in our mouths a bit when we turned up. There was puddles forming on the common. There was about 20 windswept, cold people clinging to the railings. And we thought, where is this day going to go? The players deserve more than this. But no, by the time midday rolled around, the sun was out, the crowds were out in force. It was a fantastic day. And look, I'm very, very lucky and blessed in my job to get to cover football in a lot of different cities, in a lot of different places. And I think Portsmouth fans, some perhaps won't realise maybe until they leave Portsmouth or get to see other clubs, that they are very, very fortunate. It's a special club and it's a special footballing city. And if there's one thing I've learned, you know, covering football around the UK is it's not normal what Portsmouth have. That many people turning out for League One promotion, that level of passion, and the level of passion we saw at Fratton Park all year long. It's easy when it's all you ever know to think that that's the norm. But, you know, I've been around the country. I've been around Europe. It's not normal. And I think yesterday was another demonstration of that, how long people stayed to give that team just that brief moment of respect. Mm.
Matt, we got plenty of interviews on Sunday afternoon, including your chat with Pompey commentator Andy Moon from BBC Radio Soda. Matt, I'd love to play it this evening, but I've kind of already promised my listeners Riley Towler, Colby Bishop and Michael Eisner himself. We don't quite have the time, but if you tune in on Friday, we will replay your chat with Andy Moon. It is a good one and he talks about his sort of favourite moments from the campaign as well. So we will hear from Matt Drabble and Andy Moon on Friday's edition of the show. But first, tonight we hear from Riley Towler, Blues defender, who of course was named in the starting 11 at Lincoln on Saturday afternoon. Here's what he had to say on the Common yesterday afternoon.
We are now joined by Pompey defender Riley Towler. Riley, we'll come on to the celebrations in a moment and about the celebrations, of course, throughout the entire campaign. But just to touch on yesterday's game at Lincoln, how great was it to be back on the field?
Of course, I want to play every game, but the boys have been outstanding. You've seen it all season and I was glad to play my part of it yesterday.
And it's been a very, very long season, but the boys have had to dig deep very hard in a lot of games, but it's all been worth it when you see the crowd here on Southsea Common, the flags, the flares, the atmosphere that's building. It must be a really special moment for you and the team.
Oh, definitely, honestly, the boys are all buzzing. There's no better feeling than that. You could hear them now, can't you? There's no better feeling coming out in front of the fans, all out on the Common today. It's going to be a special celebration. The boys have been unbelievable all season from start to finish. Everyone's played their part and can't wait to enjoy it all now.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we have a celebrations after the Barnsley game. That was one moment. The trophy lift after the Wigan game as well. And of course, this afternoon. Those are three really special moments I'm sure you'll all cherish for a very long time.
I think most of the people have seen it all on Twitter anyway, how much we enjoyed ourselves. But boys deserve it. Like I said, we've been unbelievable all season and we want to enjoy it as well, and it's another day to enjoy it. But yeah, all the other three celebrations has been quality as well.
And it is a big team effort. Just talking about the Pompey Women's as well. They're here today. They've won their league. They're into the Championship next campaign. How much of a sort of knock-on effect is the kind of success that you've had this season from the men's perspective? How much does that sort of rub on the women's team as well?
Look, it's brilliant. They've been, I think they go full-time next season. They've got promoted and it's some season when both teams get promoted. So all round Portsmouth this year has been excellent and I'm sure we're going to keep going up and up as well.
Yeah, really great to catch up with Pompey defender Riley Towler on Sunday afternoon on Southsea Common. From one defender to one Pompey striker, Colby Bishop scoring 20-plus league goals for the Blues in consecutive campaigns.
Colby, this is a fantastic day. The sun's come out. And what a season it's been, not just for the team, but for you personally as well.
Yeah, I think it's just a cherry on the cake. Just tops it all off. I mean, the scene's here, it's unbelievable. The fans are behind us again like they have been all year. And they're part of the reason that we've done what we've done, so... just grateful for them and what a day.
And is it these kind of moments and like the, you know, the post-match scenes after the Barnsley game, is this what you live for as a player?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, personally, I've never seen anything like this, so I'm just trying to soak it all in. I probably won't because it's hard to, but yeah, I'm just taking it all in. It's amazing.
And a big summer ahead in terms of preparation for the Championship, of course, but I'm sure a bit of time as well for you and the team to let your hair down and really reflect on what's been a fantastic 12 months.
Yeah, we'll deal with that when it comes. I think now is just time for enjoyment, enjoying it with the fans, enjoying it with our family and friends, and let's have a good time.
And everyone at Portsmouth Football Club, I'm sure Sam, you'll agree, deserves a really big, really relaxed, but celebratory kind of summer as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think... like you said, we've spoken over the years, Jake, about sort of the ups and downs, mainly a lot of downs, to be honest with you. And it's sort of just nice to sort of have that sort of relief in that moment where the 7 years has finally all been worth it. And I think if we sort of got another season like this in another 7 years, I think the 6 years leading up to it is sort of, it's all worth it. I think some of the memories sort of this season, the sort of ones which stick out for me, the Peterborough away game, massively sort of, that's when everyone sort of started to believe that it was possible and that we were going to achieve it. And I think we all sort of thought until we were actually on the pitch that it was sort of going to be one of those seasons again. As Pompey fans, you never really know. You never really believe until the job's completely done.
No.
But I say what the sort of the two last home games of the season, the Barnsley game, sort of one of my favourite nights I've ever had at football, sort of looking at that sort of in the same sort of breath as the FA Cup final 2008, yeah. The AC Milan game. I think that possibly even tops it, and then obviously the players getting the send off they deserved in the Wigan game. It ended really well, and I think it's been another long season, but a very well deserved break, and we go again next year and we'll see what the club do off the pitch in the summer.
Indeed, we do. And two people who I'm sure will have a fair idea of what the club will be doing off the pitch in the summer, Eric and Michael Eisner.
Joined now by Eric Eisner and Michael Eisner. Michael, first of all, I'm sure this is a moment you've been waiting for a very, very long time.
Well, 7 years is a long time, not a very, very long time.
And how great is it to be here in Portsmouth today, watching these players come out and get their medals, lift a trophy for the men and the women as well?
Well, the sun came out. The women got their trophies, which was great. 125th anniversary. The men moving up to the Championship. You can't do better than that.
Can't do better than that, indeed. And Eric, you've been to a lot of games this season to support the team. John Messino has really moulded this togetherness within this squad, hasn't he?
Yeah, they've been incredible all year. To have four losses, five after the one game, but five losses all year is an incredible season.
And Michael, of course, now we move on to the Championship for the men's and the women's team. What is the next step for Portsmouth Football Club?
Well, the next step is to continue from the last step. We come over often. Eric has come across the Atlantic six times in the last 4 weeks. So everybody now needs a couple of weeks off. Then we start all over again with our goal to eventually, will not be tomorrow, but eventually, a long time, but not a very, very long time, to get to the Premier League.
And I'm sure these players deserve a big pre-season off celebrating what they've done this year as well.
Well, that's up to them. If I was with them, we'd be celebrating. I'm going home, though.
Absolutely. Eric, just one final word on you. A successful campaign for the men and the women as well. Are you looking forward to the Championship next season?
Yeah, can't wait to see all the teams we'll play next year in the away game. So, yeah.
Yeah, big, big thank you to both Eric and Michael Eisner for their time on Sunday afternoon. They were really enjoying themselves, soaking up the atmosphere on what was a truly incredible day celebrating the success of Portsmouth men and women, both champions of their respective leagues. Pompey promoted as champions from League One. They'll be playing in the Championship next season, as will Jay Sadler's Pompey women playing in the Barclays Women's Championship following the title success in the FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division. They're in action, by the way, this coming Sunday, the final game of the season. They take on London Bees at Wesley Park. Get yourselves down there to watch them lift the trophy again. Why not? You can never have too many. Right, it has been a long time coming. Pompey are finally out of League One. 7 years, 2,457 days, 310 matches played, 311 now, following Saturday's 2-0 win.
Clearance shoots, and it's in! Connor Chaplin hits goal, and scores! When it breaks, Connor Chaplin, can he win it? It's a goal! Rhona Curtis, another great goal from the Irishman.
Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end.
Ben Thompson wants a shot. Oh, what a goal! What a magnificent goal! Ben Thompson curls one into the top corner. Cox in the angle, back to Cox in the area. He scores! Simon Cox has a hat-trick. Portsmouth are so square at the back. They've been caught. They've thrown away a three-goal lead. Southend 3, Portsmouth 3. Jamal Lowe's free. Curtis looks for him. Loose ball for Close. Slammed into the corner. A fifth goal for Portsmouth. Secondary effort is into the back of the net. And Chris McGuire has scored for Sunderland. Yet again, it's playoff heartbreak for Portsmouth. They've lost this semi-final tie, 1-0 on aggregate to Sunderland.
If by chance I'd see you in the tavern.
It's in from Curtis. It's a deep ball. It's a header from Burgess. And he's scored for Pompey.
Those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end.
Rhona Curtis for Portsmouth. Curtis shoots. And Rhona Curtis scores. And Portsmouth have the lead. Playoff. Brown shot, and he scored. Equaliser for Oxford. Here's Harness outside the area. Harness shot, and scores! Marcus Harness breaks the deadlock. One for Bass, and Bass and Harrison get in the way of each other. Has that crossed the line? Referee looks at his watch. Goal line technology gives the goal. And Oxford have struck back just before the interval. McGeehan with a very measured run up back. Simon Eastwood stood still on his line. McGeehan steps up, and it's saved by Eastwood. McGeehan straight at the goalkeeper, and down to his right, he saves it. And it's first blood to Oxford. McGeehan misses for Portsmouth. It's John Massino who will step up and strike this with his right foot. It's a long run-up. He's right back on the edge of the penalty area. Whistle blows. Massino back, forward, steps up, drills it down the middle, scores. And Oxford are one penalty away from a place at Wembley next Monday night. Ollie Hawkins must score for Portsmouth just to take it to a fifth penalty for Oxford. And Massino is having a word in Hawkins' ear. A little bit of gamesmanship there. Hawkins has just got to do his bit. Hawkins dancing as his run-up, as he did at Wembley when he won the shootout for Portsmouth. Hawkins this time, he steps up and he scores, puts it in the corner. Brannigan against Bass. Brannigan steps up and he scores. And Oxford are heading to Wembley. In it comes to the far post. Watmore's header is into the net. Jack Watmore, his first ever goal at Fratton Park. Tunnicliffe into the area to Marquis. Marquis Hackett Fairchild in the middle. But Marquis scores himself in off the post in front of the Fratton end.
And it comes back again to O'Brien. Oh, he scored! He scored for Pompey! O'Brien, the substitute! Would you believe it?
Jacobs crossed to the far post. Pigott arriving! And Pigott scoring! Bishop nods it down and into the net! And it's a magnificent goal!
The dreams are still the same.
Cross comes into the near post, headers into the net! Shaughnessy! Surely Pompey are heading for the championship! It's Portsmouth 3, Barnsley 2, it might be the title! Kamara, great save!
the second. They're going to win here at Lincoln. They're going to finish with 97 points.
Those were the days. Pompey's seven-year stay in League One is over. 46 games down, 97 points on the board. The League One campaign has come to a close. And Pompey have once again missed out on the playoffs, but it's all good because they've been automatically promoted to the Championship as league winners. A big thank you to everyone who's tuned in to the Football Hour this evening, but the biggest of thanks goes to our two studio guests. First and foremost, Matt Drabble. Matt, thank you for calling in. It's been a pleasure as always, and hopefully we won't leave it too long until we get you next back on the show.
Fantastic as always, Jake. Always a pleasure to cover local football and talk about Portsmouth with you.
Matt, thank you very much. Sam Macy, pleasure as always to have you on the Football Hour. We will hear from you again, I'm sure, very, very soon.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Always a pleasure. I'm sure we'll catch up with you in the next few months.
And your next football fix on Express FM comes this Wednesday evening from 6 with Henry Deacon and Over the White Line. I'm back with Tom Chappell and Pepe Lacy for the next instalment of the Football Hour this Friday from 6. The next up here on the station, Jeff Dorsett with the Soft Rock Show.